Hey, all you anime addicts, and welcome to an interview with Peter Payne. Peter Payne is the founder of JList.com, and you've probably heard us talking about JList.com recently in our regular episodes, and this is the guy behind it all. So say hello, Peter, and let us know what's on your mind right now.
Hello, Peter, and let us know what's on your mind right now.
Well, no one can say that he doesn't follow directions.
Yeah. Hello, everybody. Thanks for listening to our little discussion. I'm Peter Payne. I started JList an amazing 20 years ago, which I can't believe.
Is it 20 years this year?
20 years October. October 1st was our 20th anniversary.
That's a big deal. Congratulations again.
Thank you. Yeah, so it's been a really great, time. Obviously, we started at the dawn of the internet, 1 year before Google, by the way. it was the changes that we've seen. Of course, we started up with a dial-in modem, and we actually had, back in those days, you had to call, or I guess like 1 or 2 years before we started JList, you had to call to Tokyo to get internet because there was no internet providers in our prefecture.
You have something when you predate Google. Like that's how you know. So it's actually a really good time to have you on and be doing one of our interviews with you because, as most people know, it is the holiday season and many people here in the States are gearing up for Christmas, whether as a religious or secular holiday. And so many people are getting ready their Christmas wish lists. And what better way than to talk to someone who has their fingers on the pulse of what's hot in Japan and just so happens to have a retail website to get a bunch of cool anime stuff from Japan to people's doors. So what do you have going on right now that you want people to know about on JList.com for the holidays?
Well, we always have a big, a lot of stuff coming in the holidays, a lot of really cool products always hit, a lot of good toys and things like that. So we have a big sale on our site right now. You can get half price shipping. So please come to the site and check it all out. Really, there's no better time to make your order. This year, of course, this time of year is calendar season, and we always do like 200 different calendars from Japan.
Do you have a favorite calendar?
This year... the anime ones are really good. I like ReZero a lot.
I think many people of our listeners will agree with you on that one.
Oh, yeah.
I think ReZero is a popular one.
Some years, artist calendars are really good, and this is one of those years. So we've got Kantoku, we've got Coffee Kizoku, basically all of the artists who are famous enough to make calendars. We've got the calendars in stock right now. So it's really a great excuse to come and get a couple calendars.
Now that's something that I'm interested in because I love artists. I love getting like art books and whatnot.
Yeah. We have a lot of those too.
So if I went on JList.com or the non-adult mirror site, JBox.com, for anyone who is listening on a maybe work network and wants something that's completely safe for work, because JList.com does have some fantastic 18-plus stuff, as we've talked about on many an episode. But if I was someone who ordered a calendar today, would I get it in time for Christmas at this point?
Yeah, definitely. EMS, I think we can deliver if you order by the 15th of December. And EMS is this really fast international shipping method. It's fully trackable. It's got insurance built into it, and it takes 4 or 5 days to reach you. It's just ridiculously fast. So we have extra staff, and we're getting the orders out, right away to make sure everyone gets their items by Christmas.
And that EMS is the one that's also half off shipping. It's half off all shipping.
Right. So basically you get half, your shipping price is halved. So $40 or up is the requirement.
So I have kind of a fun question for you. If you were going shopping on your own website, and I'm sure you're sick of seeing all the stuff that's on there sometimes because you have to manage it all and warehouse it and supply it.
Yeah.
But if you were going to go shopping on your own website for Christmas, what do you think either is hot and you'd want it because it's hot and cool and big in Japan or maybe big over here in the States? Or what would you want just because you like it and you think it's cool?
One thing I really like is the we started a new monthly box called JList Box. And so you basically get There's two different snack boxes. There's a toy box or you know, different theme box every month. And then we have the adult box too. So I think those are really good as a place to start. Really like hand-picked items. It's not like stuff that we just put together. It's like stuff that we chose specifically for these boxes, and they're only available in the boxes. So those are really good. If you go to jlist.com/box, you can see all of the current JList boxes that we have. Basically, we try a lot harder than, you know, some of the crate companies. They sort of, you know, they cheat, or they put in these really like inexpensive snacks so they can say, look, we have, you know, 10 snacks. But we really make sure we have a good variety of stuff every year, or every month, actually. Obviously, yeah, I mean, people just have different tastes. If you're interested in anime, then the art books and calendars are really good. If you're interested in figures, we've got that. Certain people like certain adult products, and we've got those. The prostate, men's prostate cancer aiding devices are quite popular at all times of year, Christmas or not.
Oh, do you have anything else about those specific devices that our 18 and up users might be interested in knowing? Any kind of sales or?
Basically, it's the shipping sale, so it applies to all the products.
All right, that sounds great. You know, I'm excited about Christmas myself, and I'm wondering if I have something that I want and I don't get it in time, or I don't see it on JList.com in time. What is the cutoff for shipping? Where
I believe it's the 15th, so December 15th.
Okay, so everyone listening to this, even by the time it comes out, if you're listening to it pretty quickly after it comes out, you should still have time. So be excited about that. And if not, of course, JList.com has all kinds of awesome sales throughout the year, and we usually try to keep you listeners up to date on that. But speaking of Christmas, that's one thing that I'd love to talk about with you, because Christmas in Japan is always a really fun affair. Because as we've talked about before, you and I even, Japan is not an incredibly religious country. And even
Definitely
if it is,
not.
It's not Christian.
Yeah. I think 1% of Japanese are Christians. And actually, my first Christmas in Japan was really interesting, because I'm here in this country where there's basically, it's just the most secular country ever. And what do? I get invited to by a Baptist church to play Santa Claus, which, if you've ever spent a Christmas in Japan, you have to have a real foreigner playing Santa Claus, or it's not Christmas. So I'm in this, you know, really nice community of Japanese Baptists, and they're very kind and very welcoming, and I'm playing Santa Claus and you know, for all the kids, and they had so much fun. So that was like my first view of Japan was not really representative, but my first Christmas in Japan was a very religious thing, and I attended, you know, mass with them and everything. And then after that, of course, it's much more, you know, Christmas is about, first of all, it's Valentine's Day is the big date time where you go on a real special date with your boyfriend or girlfriend or wife or whatever. But then Christmas Eve is the second big date time. So really Christmas is a time for lovers. It's a time where you plan a real special date, and you go to Tokyo and you have a nice hotel and you have a really nice dinner in a, you know, one of the nice hotels down there. It's a time for Christmas. Obviously, advertising has, you know, sort of programmed parents that they should give a Christmas present to their kids, so they'll get them one Christmas present from Toys R Us, things like that. It's a much smaller scale than in America, but they still sort of have that thing where it's for kids. And
that was one thing that I noticed when I was living in Japan, where it seemed like adults didn't really get each other's Christmas gifts. Maybe not really anything from what I think I got a little bit more because I was a foreigner, and most of my Japanese friends kind of knew that
mostly
was the
boyfriend,
thing.
Boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, and then kids. But yeah, it's much smaller on the radar because you've got New Year's, and New Year's is the really big holiday. That's the most important holiday in Japan. So, and that's just, you know, a week later. So New Year's sort of takes up all of the real, you know, mindset or whatever.
Yeah. So is there any hot Christmas gifts for kids this year in Japan? I mean, there's all sorts of trends.
I don't even know. Like Toys R Us, I go there and I, you know, just sort of scout out the place, but I haven't really seen. Yeah, I mean, it's not like America where you've got, you know, sort of Christmas gift or the thing that's hot in Christmas almost defines, you can sort of look at the past history of Christmas and talk about what was hot that Christmas. And it's kind of an interesting way to look at our, you know, pop culture and things like that. Here, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, like whatever, like for real small kids, whatever show is on, like you always have the Kamen Rider series that's currently running. You have the, you know, and then of course the toys from that will be all over the place in toy stores.
One of the things that I remember talking about what's hot is Christmas cake. And there's inevitably some anime-themed Christmas cake that you can go to your local, what is it, Yaoko, or I'm trying to remember the other, Kasumi, one of those types of grocery stores, and order your Christmas cake from. Have you ordered your Christmas cake yet, or is that not something that you do?
We have done Christmas cake in the past, but not terribly, you know, not really like religiously as some people would. Here it's of course Japanese Christmas cake is a translation of the British Christmas cake tradition, which of course we don't have in America, so we're like, what? But and then of course they completely change it because they like, you know, whipped cream and strawberries, or as British Christmas cake is Yule logs, and you know, some very different thing. I don't even actually know. But anyway, yeah.
So I actually didn't know that it came from Britain, that whole tradition came
whenever
from.
Whenever Japan does something weird and you don't know what it is, you can say, well, it probably came from Britain, and almost always it'll be accurate. Like you see cars here called Super Saloon, which to us a saloon is an old West, you know, a bar in the old West. And of course, you know, if you know cars, you know that a saloon is a sedan in the Brit in the UK. But I didn't know that, so I'm like, wow, what are they, you know, amazing use of words here. So just in general, whenever you have some question about something odd the Japanese do, very often it'll be because they took it from Japan or took it from the UK, or they took it from the UK 100 years ago, and then the UK no longer does that, but Japan still does that. There's all kinds of things like that.
I'm going to tangent for a second, just because I'm curious. Speaking of random things that Japanese people do that I never knew why they did it, I understand what it means, but the use of the word mansion. Because mansion in English, when someone says, I live in a mansion, that's a giant home on a ton of land and luxury. But a mansion in Japan is basically like almost like a condo complex. Do you know where that comes from?
Don't really know when it happened. It'll be like if you search in Japanese, you can find it. Usually there'll be an answer. Yeah, but basically a mansion is a nice condo that you own, rather than like if it's made of steel and concrete and you can't hear your neighbors above you, that's a mansion. And if it's made of wood and you can hear your neighbors above you, then it's an apartment.
you gotta love the fact that the word meaning luxury, at least in American English, luxury housing, has become a term for you can't hear your neighbors. I mean, that's a pretty low bar. Anyways,
there's a whole bunch of words like that, like They just get the word wrong. Like hip means ass, and so it's just really like, you know, look at the hip on that girl, and you're like, okay, hip. You know, I've never really, had a thing for the side of the upper part of the buttocks, but it just a whole bunch of words like that where they just mapped it over wrong, and you just have to get used to it. Like the word tension. If you, it happens in anime a lot where let's say tenshin ga takai, which means fun and exciting in the Japanese meaning.
Okay.
And like that girl has really got great tension doesn't mean anything like it would mean in English. So
I feel like I'm going to shelf this because I feel like this is a whole nother conversation that we can have at some point in the future about just different words that don't mean what we think they mean. And maybe even people who watch anime don't even realize a lot of these words and the full meaning of them. But back to Christmas cake, as you mentioned. It has the whipped topping and strawberries, and there's this very iconic look to Christmas cake, at least if you're not getting one of the anime ones. Here's my question. Do you like Christmas cake? Because I'm a cake lover, and I wasn't too crazy about it, I'll admit.
Yeah. My problem is my kids have grown up and gone away to college, so any Christmas cake we would have done would have been, okay, let's have a nice dinner everybody together with our kids. And now that they don't do that, like I still put my tree up, and my wife's like, "What are you doing? The kids aren't here." And I'm like, "Yeah, but I want the Christmas tree." And she makes fun of me, like, "But it's Christmas, you have to have your Christmas tree. What's wrong with that?" So there are things you do when you have kids, and then when the kids go away, you you know, you're under pressure to change, and I'm trying not to change if possible.
As the person who waits for Thanksgiving just to put up her Christmas tree, I completely sympathize. But no, I mean, like, the not necessarily even the ritual of buying Christmas cake, if you will, but the actual taste of it. Do you like the actual taste of Christmas cake?
I think it's fine. It's all cake in Japan is not really sweet. And if you appreciate that, you know, I'm eating a cake and it's not hitting me over the head with its sweetness like they do in America, then it's quite good. On the other hand, if you just arrived from America, you might think, what's wrong with this cake? It doesn't have enough sugar in it, or doesn't have enough sweetening in it. We have way too much sweetening in everything. I mean, just it's ridiculous when you look into it in the U.S. And then we just sort of get used to that. It's our palate, and we assume that everything will be sweetened.
I can agree with that, because I definitely saw some of that when I moved back from Japan, but there's something for me about when I ate Japanese cakes that I wanted it to be somewhere more in the middle. A little bit sweeter, but maybe not quite as sweet as American cakes. But I also have a sweet tooth, so that could be
It's just funny me. With here's an interesting observation about Japan versus America. If you give an American a large cake that doesn't taste very good, or if you give him a small piece of cake, which is truly amazing and delicious, he'll pick the large cake because that's sort of how we base value. We say, well, it's bigger, it's better. And then the Japanese will always take the smaller cake, and they'll be super happy to have a small, delicious piece of cake rather than a big piece of cake that doesn't taste very good. And my favorite place to buy cake in Japan is they did a lot of work inside Tokyo Station, and they added all these high-end like shops and things.
Oh, yeah, I remember when that happened.
Go in there, and you will pay $12 or $15 for an amazing piece of cake that is put in a box, and the box has like a piece of dry ice to keep it cold. And you know, trust me, $15 or $12 or whatever seems like a lot to pay, but you will never forget that cake that you have in Tokyo Station. So I mean, I've been here long enough, I can really appreciate that side of it.
I'm gonna have to ask you to at some point give me the name of, if it is a particular bakery, that bakery that you're talking about, because the next time I'm in Japan.
Basically, it's just a bunch of different ones. It's all like the bottom floor of a department store will just be a giant pâtissier. And of course, to make cake in Japan, you basically have to have done 4 years of study in Paris. That's how serious they are about that. And if you haven't, you probably can't even get a job in the industry.
So I'm good with it.
They're basically on another level than us. We can't even comprehend. Why would you go to that extent just to make cake? You just make some cake, and you'll be like, you know. But they're like, no, you don't understand. So Japan often does that, where, you know, whole industries will just be completely blown out the top, and we get to benefit because we get to have that wonderful cake.
I can agree with it.
But it's a little weird.
I take cake very seriously in general, so I like it personally. Is there anything else that your family eats, or maybe when the kids were around, that you ate that was kind of traditional Japanese Christmas? Less things that maybe you brought from the States, and more things that were, this is what you do in Japan. You get this for Christmas, like Christmas cake.
One thing, like all foreigners in Japan tend to rely on KFC too much because there aren't turkeys in Japan. You can get turkeys from Costco now, but you cannot bake a turkey because nobody has an oven that could bake a turkey. But yeah, I mean, like what I will do now, since we're fortunate enough to live next to a Costco. And where were you living before?
We were living near Scuba, so we actually had a Costco not far away. We did a right proper Thanksgiving when we were there.
Oh, neat. Okay. But for us, yeah, we have this Costco near us. And again, it's weird, like there's a Costco closer to me here in Japan than there was in my San Diego home. And it's like, and there's a Book Off, and which is a Japanese used bookstore, and a 100 yen shop closer to my house in San Diego than there is here in Japan. So it's just very odd how my life is cut in half like this. Anyway, but now that we have this Costco, we have all these wonderful options. Yeah, and to be in a place without a Costco, I think I would have a lot more trouble having, you know, being able to get a pumpkin pie, which you know isn't really a thing to the Japanese. But to be able to go get a giant pumpkin pie and then eat it is really wonderful. On the other hand, it's a giant pumpkin pie and my kids aren't here. So I have myself, I really need a really big piece of pie.
Has there ever been anything over the holidays like a giant pumpkin pie where you go to the Costco or something and you're like, I'm craving it. I just have to have it. I don't care if I'm really wasteful and end up throwing out like 2/3 of it. I gotta have a piece of pumpkin pie right now. My American is kicking in. Is there anything like that for you?
Yeah, I mean, just things I want to eat, like the pretzel bread they have at Costco, which is really, really good. I love they have the pre-baked chicken. It's like, you know, $6-$7 for this whole chicken. And we get that and we eat it. And then my wife makes curry out of it, boils all the meat off and makes curry out of it. And that curry is so bloody good.
You know, I'll have to do that, because one of the things that I do is I make stock out of like the bones, similar thing, boil all the meat off and then make chicken noodle soup. But I like that idea of making curry with the chicken stock water. That's really clever. Tell your wife she's a genius. Speaking of food, one more question. I know we're making everybody hungry who's listening, but one of the things that I got confused about the first time I lived in Japan. Now, this was back in 2009, so, and I know you were well there then, but for me, it was a while ago. KFC was oddly a thing for Christmas. Is that still the case? Was that just a fad in Osaka where I was living? Do you know anything about that, KFC and Christmas?
I think it's like KFC is one of those companies that's in everywhere in the world, and so whether you're from America or you're from Egypt or you're from Bolivia, you feel this attachment to KFC. So it's kind of one of those things. You're in a strange country. You want something that is, you know, very familiar. And so we're all drawn to KFC. And whenever I go into KFC, there's always like 3 or 4 more foreigners than I would normally see anywhere, even out here in a place where there's not that many foreigners. So it's just KFC is one of those unifying, you know, things that stretches out through time and space and reassures us all no matter where we are.
And then humanity goes to the end of the universe, finds a KFC. Yeah. So one of the things that I'm also wondering when it comes to Christmas in Japan is, as a holiday, and we've kind of established this, that Christmas is in most ways an adopted holiday from the West, because there's not as much of a religious base for it there. Would you say Christmas has gained popularity over the years, kind of like Halloween has, where Halloween has been slowly introduced and Disney has helped it catch on? Would you say Christmas has gotten bigger in Japan in the time you've spent there, or has it been a pretty consistent?
Since I came here, Toys R Us entered Japan, and you know, obviously you got the rise of marketing about toys around Christmas. So definitely it became more of a thing. Still though, it went from like, you know, 10% to 20% or something like that. It's still not really that big a thing. It's a thing for dating. It's a thing for giving something special to your wife or someone special in your family, but it's really much, you know, like Christmas isn't even a holiday. It's really weird driving in traffic on Christmas and it's like, whoa, I'm in a traffic jam on Christmas, or the tendency of me to come to work and work every day on Christmas and I go, whoa, it's Christmas, I shouldn't be here, but all my staff is here and I don't want to let them down and whatever. So it's just an odd thing.
I remember having those conversations with fellow teachers in Japan at Eikaiwa and whatnot, where we would talk about it. It is an interesting phenomena. That's the absolute wrong word, but it is an interesting feeling. It's a weird sensation to come from a country like America, where Christmas is in many ways the biggest holiday of the year and everything kind of stops, and you go and you're expected to work. And it was one of those things that I got in so many kind of a heated battle. Well, not really battle, because most people agreed with me because they were fellow coworkers, but with other Westerners, re-emphasizing the fact that we get it, we're in Japan, and we get it, New Year's is the big holiday. However, when 90% of your workforce is from overseas, You might want to just make that a day where the schools close, even though no one else is.
That shows you how Japanese people think, that they just don't even... There's a word, out of ganchu, which means out of your field of vision. And they just don't even think about that. We're like, hey, well, you know, for me, Christmas. So one of the things about Christmas is it's a time for a Christmas party. And that's what the Japanese would say. Oh, well, if it's Christmas, we'll have a Christmas party. And we have Christmas parties in certain organizations like companies, but we don't really have Christmas parties that much. And then we have loud New Year's parties and, you know, make noise and all that stuff. But in Japan, New Year's is a very solemn and quiet. And you go to the temple and you pray, and you know, maybe you watch your J-pop TV show on, you know, there's all kinds of specials on TV, but it's certainly not a time to make noise. So that, like, Christmas and New Year's are kind of reversed in that sense. I'm actually checking out in Korea, of course. Japan has like 1% Christians, very, very low number of Christians. But in Korea, 25-30% of the population is Christian, and then Christmas is a holiday there. So it's interesting, like, Japan and Korea are very similar in many ways, but like one of the big differences is they were quite Christianized, and then Japan is Buddhist or nothing, or sort of Buddhist, sort of Shinto, sort of Christian, whatever they happen to be doing that year.
I know we said that, which I'm sorry, it just kind of a little bit of a delayed reaction, but whatever they happen to be that year with regards to religion and spirituality just cracks me up. I'm not saying it's not true.
It's just like, it's because fashion. It is. Like, when you get married, if you like there's a really nice gospel church, but it's sort of like a fake gospel church, and it's like made, it's like made to look as if it was in the antebellum South, and it's just the most amazing building ever. It's slap dab in the middle of Takasaki, where we met for lunch, and it's, you know, that's where you get married, and you get married. Of course, you have to get married by a foreigner has to be your minister. So there's actually people working in Japan as fake ministers who dress up and say, Takeshi-san, anata wa Dare-dare-san o suma to shimasu ka, and they just speak, and that's a whole thing. That's a whole package of Japanese life. And it couldn't be a Japanese minister. It has to be a foreigner minister. And then it's very authentic, and you feel like you had a really cool wedding. And that's sort of, you know, that's one thing that the Japanese do related to religion, quote unquote. And then, of course, when you have a baby, you take him to the Shinto shrine. Shinto is the original religion of Japan. And you have, you know, your baby naming, christening, things like that there. And then when you die, then you suddenly become Buddhist, and you do all of the death related customs through Buddhism. So the Japanese will sort of switch out whatever they're doing that year, depending on what time of year it is and what's going on in their lives. And then everybody becomes more Buddhist as they get older, because their parents die and they say, oh, it's time to start getting serious, and they go out and buy a really nice grave, and they buy a butsudan, which is a Buddhist altar.
It makes sense once you start explaining it, and having lived there, it makes sense. It's just, it's such a weird thing to wrap your head around. And again, almost, I we've discussed it before, but again, almost worth its own topic just to revisit, because it's so unlike a lot of other places in the world and a lot of other mentalities in the world. But
some of it might be done on purpose, where the Japanese know, you know, we got really carried away in the beginning of the 20th century. And they, when they look at North Korea now, they think, wow, that was us in the 1930s. And so I think some of it is them specifically saying, you know, let's keep it cool and toned down. We don't want to get, you know, overly excited about something like North Korea is now, or like they were back in the 1930s. So, I mean, some of that may be related to history in ways that are hard for us to know, or subconsciously related to history.
Right. Speaking of religion and holidays, we probably won't speak again before New Year's. Could you run down, because it is the big holiday in Japan, could you run down some of the things that happen on New Year's and things either that you do or that are traditional to have happen, just kind of anything about what New Year's in Japan is like, because that is when everything stops.
Yeah, everything closes down for 3 or 4 days. Basically, so before the year arrives, you buy cleaning supplies because you have to clean your house, you have to clean your, you know, from top to bottom, you clean all your windows, you clean, you wash your car, you get a full tank of gas, and then you're entering the new year with a clean slate. You've got everything in your house dusted and cleaned, and you've thrown away all your junk. So I really love that. Like from a psychological point of view, you feel, you know, charged and everything for, ready for the new year. On New Year's Eve, of course, New Year's Eve is the time to watch Kohaku, which is a really big J-pop and Enka, like a music show that's been running for like 70 years. So you watch that, and then you eat your Japanese soba noodles, which are just, you know, regular gray soba noodles, and then you wait for the New Year's to come. And what I love is, again, like New Year's is a very solemn thing in Japan, so you watch your Kohaku TV show, it ends 15 minutes before the New Year ends, and then there's this show, and of course I blog about it, so if you read my blog, I'll have talked about it several times in the past many years, but there's a show called Kurutoshi, Yukutoshi Kurutoshi, where it's the year going, the year coming, and you just, it's camera crews all around Japan's many beautiful temples, shrines, Christian churches, and also you know, just really nice places, and they show the people walking in to do their first prayer of the new year. They're getting ready to, you know, to have the sort of positive thing where you just pray for good luck in the new year, and you make a, again, like it's religious, but it's really a cultural thing. But I just love the imagery of quiet, you know, bells and temples and snowy mountainsides with you know, lit up with beautiful lights, and all the people waiting in line to pray for good luck in the new year. And then without any even a countdown, it just says 0.00 in the upper corner, and that's okay, the new year has arrived. And that's how Japanese enter the new year. And I just think it's so cool. And I try to do that in America, like get the NHK channel. It can't quite hard to do that. It's America, New Year's in America is a little more of a exciting thing. You hear noises and whatnot. So
yeah, definitely here in New York, New Year's is explosions and parties, right, and all of that. But some of my favorite memories, actually, or one of them, was a New Year's night that I waited out at the Meiji Shrine on New Year's Eve.
Oh, cool.
Oh, yeah.
I would like to do that, but my wife is just not adventurous. And I'm jealous of my son because he does that, because he's in university right now. He goes out with his friends and stays up till morning, you know, waiting in line to pray at Meiji Shrine or something like that. And I'm like, oh, that's so cool. But
yeah, it was by the time I worked through the line, it was probably around 1 a.m., 2 a.m. Oh. And I caught one of the few running subway trains, because it's one of the nights that the trains run all night in Tokyo, or almost all night, at least a few are running. And then I hopped over to Asakusa-dera and did the New Year's thing there. So I was like, I got a Shinto shrine and a Buddhist shrine. I'm covered. Okay. that one year I was covered. One of the traditional foods of New Year's is osechi. Do you like osechi?
Not really. So osechi basically is a bento that you make ahead of time, and then it can stay. It won't go bad for several hours or for several days, and it's basically to give the women of the household, sorry for being sexist, but that's what they do, to give the women of the household a break that one day so they can finally not.
So generous.
not work all the time. They can actually take one or two days off at the beginning of the year. That is the, anyway, like one of the things I am out in Gunma, which is of course 100 kilometers north of Tokyo. It's all of the issues related to things like men and women and all these things are a little bit different out here than they would be in Tokyo. Maybe it's different in Tokyo. But anyway, that's the traditional thing behind osechi dori. And then osechi dori is, you know, meat and just different kinds of things and beans, really strange beans and things that won't go bad. And a lot of them, I've been here 25 years and I still wouldn't really want to go out of my way to eat that. Just don't quite taste right to me or whatever. And of course they have a lot of different variations. You can get Western osechi if you want that, which is an option.
I actually feel like that's one of those things that many Japanese people also don't like. Again, when I was in Japan in 2009, I was living with a host family, and there were three children in the host family, and of course their friends would come over every now and then and whatnot. And it was a situation where, if I recall correctly, one of them just kind of didn't like Osechi, and then the other one was lukewarm on it, and one of them loved it. So they kind of covered the spectrum, but it almost seems like natto, where there are many Japanese people even who don't quite have the taste for it.
Right, yeah.
Well, is there anything with regards to Christmas and New Year's that you feel like we've missed out that's really worth hitting on for anyone who hasn't been in Japan and maybe is cool or a fun fact or quirky for this year or anything that you've seen or any other fun stories you want to share?
Yeah, really just New Year, like it's just interesting to do Christmas in Japan and as an American to realize that, you know, every country is different and no country is exactly like America, Europe when you get out into the world. And so it's you know, in Asia, it's very different. I think no country would be like quite like America or some countries in Europe. So yeah, it's just kind of nice to experience that kind of thing in a different framework. Definitely New Year's is or Christmas is quite small on the radar. Honestly, Halloween is probably a bigger thing. If you've seen all of the amazing cosplay, like Halloween is exploding in Shibuya, the part of Tokyo, and people spend months making costumes, and then they go and hang out in Shibuya, and then of course there's all these photographers there to make them famous on the internet, and you know, Halloween is, of course, Japanese people love cosplay, they love that sort of, you know, doing random stuff and showing off your idea for costumes. I would say, you know, by any measure, Halloween is a bigger deal in terms of things that they've imported from the outside.
I guess I can see that. Thinking about the whole costuming and whatnot aspect of Halloween, yeah. I can. The other thing that I wonder between Christmas and Halloween is that I wonder if Halloween kind of had a neutral slate and was imported more recently than Christmas in the scheme of things.
And Halloween was really like, you know, as in, when I was in Germany for a Halloween once, and I was just sort of amazed at all the decorations. And of course, that's what it really starts out is. It's just a cute thing for department stores to do, and it gets bigger and bigger. I think Halloween is also the second biggest holiday in terms of economic, you know, stuff in America. It's really huge there too. So
yeah,
here, even without the candy element, you've got just, you know, the Japanese people don't eat candy like we do, but you've got just an amazing amount of stuff.
Well, speaking of candy, if anyone wants candy, JList.com has some of those snack boxes or the boxes that you were talking about earlier. I didn't want to misrepresent what you had said.
Yes. So, yeah, we do Japanese snacks, obviously things like green tea Kit Kat, you know, some really famous ones. But really, we always have like 300 or 400 different snacks on the site. And then if you want to get the JList box sampler, you can get that, and it's like 15 different snacks plus a drink for the deluxe one, and then there's a cheaper one that doesn't have a drink. And again, JList.com/box is the URL for that.
And again, everything on JList.com right now, correct me if I'm wrong, but everything has half off shipping, which is super cool. If you order until the 15th, you can get it in time for Christmas, so you can get yourself a little Christmas gift or some of your friends a little Christmas gift, or hey, why not both? Or even a big Christmas gift off of JList and JBox.com. Don't forget about those calendars, everyone, and it's for sure worth checking out. So thank you again, Peter, for joining us. It's always a pleasure to have you.
Thanks for having me.
And we will
Have a good Christmas and have a happy new year. And we'll talk to you in the new year sometime.
Yes, have a good Christmas and happy new year to you as well. And to everyone listening, happy Christmas, happy whatever it is you celebrate, and happy new year. Take care.
Okay. Bye.